Baseball broke some records over the weekend. Women's track continues a decade of excellence, and both men and women's basketball have their sights set on the playoffs. We'll break it all down for you today on the sixth ever episode of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, Cohen. I mean, after those basketball games last night, hard not to be having a great day.
Yeah, my heart's been pounding ever since. But before we get into all that great action, you want to start us off track and field? I think close to 10 years in a row, the women have won the GPAC, and that's all wrapped up now.
Yeah, they've been dominant this year and in previous years. The men also not too bad themselves. So they were out in South Dakota this weekend for the GPAC championships. So we'll get it started off with sophomore Adriana Rodenkahl. Doing great this season, got second place in the 60-meter hurdles, then 8.56, third place in the 60 with a 7.85, and then she also placed in the 200 with a 25.85. So she's been dominating the competition all season. Even when we get the best of the best in the GPAC, she's still performing. So great to see that. Junior Jordan Koki got first in the 400 meters with a 58.86, closely followed by teammate Trinity Tools. She got third and ran a 59.05. Then Jenna Esch had herself another great day, getting first place in both the 600 and 800 meter races. Her times in those were 1 minute 35.57 seconds and then 2 minutes 18.68 seconds. Junior Riley Haker then won the 1K with a 2:59.1. So great to see her breaking the 3 minute in the 1K. Then got third in the mile, running a 5:06.72. Junior Calvin Rode took first in the 1K with a 2:34.93 and was runner-up in the mile with a 4:14.65. He also took fourth in the 3K with an 8:47.73. So just crazy running that many distance races.
Yeah, I think for how long we've been doing this and we keep shouting these names out, would you say one of the highlights of our track team, both men and women, I think we're really good at the distance events. Would you agree with that?
Oh, for sure. You can see our milers, even our 5Ks have been pretty solid. Our 4x4 relay, which sometimes you need to incorporate the distance runners into there.
Yes.
Just for the numbers.
Yep. Yeah. We've got endurance for sure.
100%. And to see him be able to perform over three different distance races is pretty cool. Moving on to more distance, senior Kylan Freiberg placed second in both the mile and the 3K, with times of 5:03.34 and 10:05.72. And then, fun one, we took second, third, and fourth in the 3K race walk. Caleb Schuttling, Lou Kamang, and Mason Hodges were the competitors and were all freshmen. So they're getting second, third, and fourth right now. Imagine what they'll be doing in a few years.
We just need one more on that podium, and we'd have a clean sweep.
Exactly. We'll sweep the competition, get some national qualifiers in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then speaking of freshmen, Zoe Walker got first in the high jump with a 5-foot-5-inch jump. Then junior Zach Zahner once again broke the 17-foot mark in the pole vault, hitting a height of 17 feet, 1 inches, taking first place. And he is still first in the nation for pole vault. So excited to see what he can do at nationals. Then senior Chris Wren got first in the men's weight throw with 65 feet, 2 inches for his throw. And then the women's 4x4 comprised of Esch, Kirchner, Tools, and Kopke claimed victory with a 3:59.23. That is still 6 seconds off their PR. So
wow.
The race wasn't too close, so they didn't need to push it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But their PR has them sitting seventh for all of the NAIA.
So, how about that?
Yeah, excited to see what they can do as well at nationals.
Especially, yeah, you say nationals coming up, so that's the end of February, right?
Yeah, February 29th through March 2nd.
So just for the layman, how does that work? So that's about 3 days of action. So is that all one track meet, or are there multiple track meets across 3 days just because there's so many people? Or
technically, it's all one track meet. You'll likely have lots of the field events on the first day, get into prelims for the shorter races, and then you'll have finals for something like the 800 of the mile.
Okay.
So you can't run a prelim for that.
Yeah.
Just with how taxing it is on your body.
Yeah.
And then you might have some prelims for some of the shorter relays, and then you'll finish off with some of the relays on the last day.
So looking for great results there from the Bulldogs. Track and field team's doing good. What's up with the wrestling team?
All right, so the Bulldogs finished 5th out of 9 total teams with 73 points at the GPAC Wrestling Championships. They beat out 6th place Northwestern by 2 points. So Doan took 1st place in that, Morningside 2nd, Briarcliff 3rd, and Dakota Wesleyan got 4th. Freshman Barrett Brandt, so 165-pounder, scored 13.5 points for the team with his 4th place finish. So Brandt pinned his quarterfinal opponent before getting bested in the semifinal. Brandt then won his consolation match via pin to make it to the 3rd place match, where unfortunately he was defeated by a tech fall. So he had a shot to make it to Nationals off of a wild card voting, but unfortunately did not make it. He had quite an impressive season, though, as a freshman.
Yeah, I was about to say, not Brad for a first year in college.
Yeah, and something else crazy, he broke the school record for pins in a season.
There you go.
The old record stood at 21, and he extended his new record to 24 at the championships when he pinned a few guys.
Well, way to make your mark, Barrick.
Yeah, so obviously be a bit disappointed not to make it, but can still hold his head high knowing he had a great season and has a great career up ahead of him.
For sure.
Yeah, and then junior Tommy Wentz, also a 165, playing the silver medal in the competition, earning 16.5 points for the team. So Wentz hasn't competed since December and then had a very impressive showing, which included him beating Morningside's number one GPAC competitor, Xander Erst, so ranked 1st in the whole conference, and coming off not wrestling in a month and a half, goes and beats him. Wentz then was finally bested in the 1st place match by Morningside's Caleb Biglow in a 4-2 decision, but top 3 make it to Nationals.
So he's in?
Punched his ticket, yep. Great to see that from him. And then senior Creighton Bauman, a 141, pinned his way through the 1st 2 matches and then won a tight semifinal match, 5-4. In the 1st place match, Bauman kept it very close, but was beaten by Morningside's Taylor Vasquez by a minor decision, 4-2. So Bauman won 17 points for the Bulldogs and got his bid to Nationals. And he has had also a very impressive season. We remember talking last week about his duel record, 15-0 in the duels. So, unfortunately, he wasn't able to win all his matches at the championships, but still has a chance to make his mark at Nationals.
For sure.
And then rounding off the national qualifier, senior Mason Garcia finished 3rd in the 197 division, but was the highest scoring Bulldog with 18.5 points for the team. So the California native won with a major decision in his 1st round, got a pin in the 2nd before getting defeated in the semifinal. Garcia then got a pin in the consolation semifinal before making it into the 3rd place match. Garcia dominated the final opponent, was in the driver's seat all match, and got the victory just 2 minutes into the 1st period with a pin. And I was watching that, and dude, he was like throwing that kid around.
Really?
Picked him up a few times, threw him on the ground, and got the pin really early. Not close at all.
Yeah.
So great to see him as a senior get his 1st trip to Nationals. And you can see how much it meant to him after the match was over.
So in total, we have how many national qualifiers for the wrestling
team?
3
qualifiers.
3, okay.
So decent number. And then Nationals are the same time as track and field. So February 29th through March 2nd. So check out Flow Wrestling for updates on the wrestling championships, and then athletic.net for updates on track and field when that happens.
Yep, so we got track and field. We have got wrestling. What's up with tennis?
So the tennis guys were at home this week against Tabor. I was able to make it to some of their match, but I had to leave to go to wrestling. So same time.
You're all over the place, man.
Yeah, crazy weekend. But they got a 5-2 win. I was able to see some of the doubles matches, but the highlight was the singles. So Santiago Abadia, Michael Bedrosian, Manuel Rodriguez, and Mitch Crum all won their singles matches. Then Rodriguez and Abadia, as well as Luke Johnson and Bedrosian, combined to win their doubles matches and get the win over Tabor.
All right.
And then looking at the women, they unfortunately lost to Ottawa University out in Kansas 6-1. But there was a bright spot. Mariana Milano won her singles match. So not all bad for the Bulldog women's tennis. And they're actually playing right now against Kansas Wesleyan Christian. So they started at 10 o'clock today, hoping to see a victory from them.
Let's go. Tennis, obviously, very early in the season for them. It's also very early in the season. I'll let you get softball, and then I'll get the deets on baseball.
Yeah, softball they've had a bit of a rough start to the season. They're sitting at 1-5 right now. Still haven't had a home match. So not being able to play in front of the Bulldog fans might be an issue. But they've been out in Kansas this whole time. They got their first win of the season, though, against St. Mary of the Woods College in Kansas. So they got the 1-0 win. So second baseman Hannah Bowers was walked, and then Madison Cushing pinch ran in the fifth inning. And then a few hits by the Bulldogs got her to third base. And then an error gave Cushing the opportunity to make it home to get the single point in the game. They then lost a very tight 5-6 match against Benedictine. And then they had two matches on the 19th, and they lost 11-1 against Baker University. And then a super tight 1-0 loss against Avila University.
That hurts. Those are always tough.
Yeah, so you look a few different outcomes, and they could be sitting at close to an even record. So
yep,
the record doesn't look good right now, but it's still super early. Very early. In the season.
Haven't had a home game yet.
Yeah, no home games.
But and you said they may not get a home game until March.
Yeah, so unfortunately, not many home games at all. We've got a couple in Fremont, some in Lincoln, but we'll have to wait till mid-March for a home game for them.
Yeah, well, the Road Dogs are going to have to show up to those. Kind of the same story in baseball. They've been in Kansas a lot, too. They were actually at Kansas Westland Tuesday in a doubleheader, and they smoked them. They finally got above 500, so now baseball is sitting at an even 4-3. Game one, all offense, 14-5. Jaden Quinn, Alec Blackstad, and Matt Rhodes all homered in the first game. The second game, a bit more of a pitcher's duel, although not so much. It was 5-2, so we've got Joey Gabronski, who's been a mainstay in the program for years at this point, and Jaden Quinn homered. That homer was huge for Gabronski because that put him at 219 RBIs as a Concordia Bulldog, which is the all-time leading record. He now has the program record. It was his first of the season and his 69th of his career, so he's done a lot of good work here for Concordia.
I remember when I committed here last year, it was late in the season, and when I committed, I followed the Bulldogs on Twitter, and I just remember every single day I was seeing Joey Grabonski.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that he's breaking records. I was seeing him all the time on my Twitter feed back then.
Yeah, well, get used to seeing him some more because obviously he's got more records that he's looking to break. We've got the old heads on the team. Gabronski's making news, but also the young bucks showing up. How about Matt Rhodes? He's a freshman first baseman, and he has just slid right in easily into this lineup at the start of the season. Game one of this doubleheader against Kansas Westland, he drove in 4 runs, including, we mentioned, he hit a homer. That was his third of the season. They've played 7 games. So he's homering just about 50% of the contest as a freshman. So excited to see. Obviously, the program has come so far, and Gabranski is a big part of that. But Rhodes going forward, and a lot of this freshman class, and we've seen this across track, and we've seen this in wrestling, and we've seen this in basketball. A lot of these young bucks stepping up, and they're making it exciting for years to come.
Yeah, Matt's he's actually on my floor, so Boaz floor too. But remember the day he hit that homer. Just got a video in the group chat of someone recording their computer with the game up, and I was like, Matt hits another bomb and just whips it right into right field over the fence.
So, yeah.
Amazing hit. He's got a great start to the season.
Freshman with power is a good sign, but as you mentioned, they're not going to get a home game till quite a while, just like the softball team. Their next 4 games are against Fort Scott in Fort Scott, Kansas. Actually, check that. Against Culver Stockton College in Fort Scott, Kansas. It's kind of a brutal weekend for them coming up. Doubleheader on Saturday and a doubleheader on Sunday. Both of them starting at 1 p.m. So they've just got baseball, man. You got to love that sport to play baseball.
At least it's not too hot or too cold right now. The weather's kind of nice.
That's true. True. Yeah, they missed the winter and they're in the sweet of the spring right now. Going over to some sports that enjoy the air conditioning a little bit more.
Please talk about basketball.
Yeah, we've been waiting for it. So men's basketball, I'm sure a lot of people watched the game on Wednesday. We played Hastings, for those who are living under a rock. It comes down to the final seconds. We're down by 4 at the end of regulation with 3 seconds left. They foul Noah Shutt. They start playing the foul game. We're down by 3.
Yeah.
They foul Noah Shutt with 3.8 seconds left. He puts up the first one, makes it, intentionally misses the second one. Tristan Smith gets the rebound. They foul him. Tristan Smith is able to make both of his three throws, ties the game up, goes to overtime.
Crazy pressure there. He was cold under pressure.
It was insane. And then we get down two in overtime, but we're able to come back. But this time, you know, you think it's Noah Shutt or Tristan Smith, you know, the big names on the team who were going to ice the game. No, it was Brooks Kessinger. Kind of having himself, it was like his show-out moment. So far this season, he's averaged 13.6 minutes a game, 5 points per game, but he ices the Hastings game in overtime in a crucial must-win GPAC conference. We'll get into a little bit why this game was so huge, but when he needed to step up, he stepped up.
Yeah, I think I saw him come out maybe once in the second half through overtime. He was playing crazy.
Yeah.
So we were out there, the soccer team showed up to support, and I heard one of my teammates talking to another guy, and he's like, number 10's really playing for the badge. And I don't know if that phrase is used in other sports, but playing for the badge just means so much heart. You're playing for your team, and you could see it out there. He was fighting. He was diving for every loose ball.
Yeah.
Driving to the hoop every time.
Yeah,
of tough shots.
Definitely when you watch Brooks play, obviously Shutt and Smith get a lot of the attention, as they should. But when you watch Brooks play, especially in that game, you just see Slasher.
Yeah.
Just getting to the paint. He was dominating. He had a good quote afterwards. Coming into the game, we knew it was a must-win game, so we had the mentality the whole game. Even when we were down 15, we knew we would come back in the second half and make our mark. And in the overtime, it was putting everything on the line. That's what we did. That's exactly what Kessinger did. They're able to steal that win from Hastings, go 2-0 on Hastings in the season, and that gives them first in the GPAC standings. However, it is not sole possession of first place.
Yeah.
Next game, Midland, senior night on Saturday, last game of the regular season, and it's huge because, as we mentioned, they don't have first place all to themselves. They're tied with Northwestern. So a game doesn't go your way and a game goes Northwestern's way. Northwestern is going to have sole possession of first place in the GPAC, and obviously that's going to affect playoff seedings. That's going to affect home field advantage. However, as it stands right now, the Bulldogs still have a chance to host a GPAC quarterfinal game on February 28th. When the tournament gets underway, the top eight teams in the final standings qualify for the GPAC tournament. So they're in no matter what. They're locked. They're going to be playing in the playoffs. But afterwards, the GPAC quarterfinal game, it will continue to the semifinals on March 2nd, and the championship game is March 5th. So we're coming up to an end on the season really close here. But going back to that Hastings game, it is huge that they get that because now we're tied for first rather than being – we would be tied for second had we lost that game, which is so different in terms of seeding for playoff and teams you're going to play.
And you can't overlook Midland, though. They're sitting not great in the standings. They have a below 500 record.
Yep.
But never know what can happen in basketball. The shots aren't going your way. So just got to make sure they stay focused and do what they need to do. Let the rankings sort themselves out.
Yep, they're still number 21, Concordia is, and last time they played Midland, we dropped triple digits on them. Mm-hmm. It's going to be senior night, so it's important to not let the festivities get to your head too much. But it's kind of a must-win game. Kind of a must-win game. Obviously not for making the playoffs, but for making your trip in the playoffs a lot easier.
Definitely. And just real quick, one of the turning points of the game, I think, was that crazy dunk we had. Can you just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, I think it was the Noah Shutt dunk, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how we've had two highlights in recent weeks. We had the Tristan Smith dunk versus Dak West, Dakota Westland, and then we've got Noah Shutt with a huge slam. Gets it. You know what? For as much.
Similar.
Very similar. But for as much as obviously, you know, that's 2 points on the board and it sways the momentum of the game, you can't understate how much it brings the crowd into the game. Even if you're not selling the place out, Frederick Arena gets on their feet and it sounds like it's sold out. And that does so much for a team going, especially down the stretch when you need the crowd. Because a lot of times you get into those overtime games, you start checking your watch. You start, you know, what time is NCIS on? I got to get home. You know, I got dinner in the crock pot. But you hit a dunk like that, you're like, okay, I can have another hot dog. Let's see how this thing ends.
Yeah, so, I was in the second row and hit that dunk and I was on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the court
just
going crazy with the soccer guys. It was such a fun game.
Oh, my God. And what's even more exciting is we have two teams that are getting our hearts racing. So we've got men's basketball, ranked 21, first in the GPAC. Then we've got women's basketball. They're ranked 7th in all of NAIA, but they're second in the GPAC. It's just so unfortunate that we happen to be in the same conference of Dort, who's having a franchise season,
yeah, historic season
to define their program.
Yeah.
But we're still second, and we are locked. I'll get into this a little bit more, but we're locked in that second place. But before I get into that, let's explain a few of the games. So there was last Saturday a very, very close loss to Dort. Yeah. Dort, obviously, number one in the conference. And if we would have beat them, it would have been close to the GPAC. It would have been attainable because our records would have been closer. They wouldn't have been undefeated in the conference, which they still are. And we would have had that tiebreaker. So it would have gotten very interesting at the end. Yeah. However, came down to the wire, not able to pull it out. McKenzie Toomey at the end of that Dort game with 7:30 left in the fourth quarter, so basically the entire fourth quarter, she fouled out. So that's one of our biggest contributors, not only points-wise, but rebound. She's a double-double machine, and we didn't have her for crunch time, which it's kind of contextualizes things because against Hastings, McKenzie Toomey had a career night, career high with 21 points. And she didn't stop there. She got 13 rebounds. And we were able to put it on Hastings pretty handily, 82-55. It was a lot less stressful of a game than the men's game turned out to be.
Yeah, they kind of got us warmed up for the men's game.
Yes.
They finished the game off early. They let us save our voices as the women's team for dominating Hastings. So
there
we didn't
go.
Have to yell too much during that one.
Yeah.
And let us save the yelling for the guys' game when they needed it.
Yeah.
Great showing from the women, as usual.
As usual. We had Tayshia Rustin. She gets double digits in points yet again.
Yep.
She's vying for her fourth GPAC honors at the end of the season for four straight seasons. So she's... Again, we're talking about all these people who have storied Concordia careers. She's definitely shoo-in for the Bulldogs Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
So you blow out Hastings. Now you're second in the GPAC standings. Obviously, we mentioned Dort is alone there at the top. They're 21-0 in the conference, undefeated. Nobody's even close. We're a little close, but we're not all that close. We are very, very close to the third place. However, no matter what happens, if Dort loses, which is unlikely, if we win or lose this final game, senior night against Midland, or if the third place team wins or loses, nothing's going to change our second place ranking. So what we're still interested in other contests simply for the seeding. We don't know who we're going to play yet. We just know that we are going to play. So Concordia, we've locked one of the four host slots, but we'll have to wait and see which conference opponent we might play in the quarterfinals. Again, that will be next Wednesday, same day as the men's, February 28th. But last game of the regular season. Again, you can't overlook it. Although it's not as important as the men's game against Midland, it's still very important to keep your wits about you. It's senior night. Don't let it get to your head. We do have a lot of seniors graduating, so it is going to be a very fun night, Wednesday night. You should definitely show up to that Midland contest. But again, if we handle business, we beat them by 20-plus points the last time we played them. So it's looking to be a nice end to the regular season.
Oh, for sure. And correct me if I'm wrong, with us sitting in second place, assuming we win the first round of GPAC tournament, we should be hosting the semifinals as well, right?
That sounds, yes. Yes, that sounds right because there wouldn't be a possibility of us playing Dort.
Mm-hmm.
So if Dort wins, which they likely will, the one seed wouldn't be playing the two seed. We would be playing somebody else, thus giving us the higher seed, giving us home field advantage.
So likely the path, if we do what we need to do, is home win in the quarterfinals,
yep.
Home win in the semis,
yes.
And then go and win at Dort in the final.
And then we start that's when the heat gets turned up to 11.
Yeah.
But either way, it's going to be a very exciting end of the season for both men and women's basketball.
Sure. They're both turning it up at the right time.
So this is a good episode. We had wrapping up a few seasons. We've got track and field. They're going to nationals, so they're on the verge. Wrestling, going to nationals, they're on the verge. We're getting playoffs for both the basketball teams, which is huge, and baseball and tennis and softball are just starting off the season. So this is kind of an interesting point of the year when you've got so much to watch at the same time.
Yeah. It's hard to cover it all, but excited.
You can't put all your stock in one sport anymore. Yeah. You're not just covering, you know, here's football and here's soccer, and there we go.
Yeah, so that's why it's important for you guys at home to be checking all the websites.
Yes.
We unfortunately can't cover all the track people. There's so many people performing in track and field. Lots of fourth place, fifth place finishers that I just can't get to because we'd be here all day. Lots of good performances in wrestling, great performances in softball and baseball that we just can't get to. So make sure you're checking up because it might just be your roommate who's performing really well and you don't even know it.
Yep. And you know who does a great job with all that is Jake Knable. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That, have you checked out, if you ever go to that website just to check out even just the articles, and if you're looking at the stats, you're trying to find out again, you know, you see how many points your roommate's averaging or checking your roommate's latest home run.
Yeah.
Go and check out some of those articles because that dude, it pumps them out like crazy and they are super detailed. He gets interviews from everyone. Yeah. So if you're not already on the Jake Knable train, he posts all of the articles that are on the official CUNY websites. And man, that's professional stuff.
I check them out when I need to do research for the podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. It's
just a
great summary. And then you get all these quotes from the coaches and the top performers. Yep. So good stuff there from Jake. But that'll be all for our sixth episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for a weekly podcast on the CUNE Sower website. In the meantime, from Cohen Carpenter and Kai Ulbrich and everyone here at the Sower newspaper, have a great day and go Dogs!